Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 48 is on the blackboard. Tvam vayuragnir avanira viyad ambumatra. What if it's Chintamani? Tvam vayuragnir varanir vishad ambumatra. Pranendriyani ridayam chiranugrahascha. Sarvam tvam eva saguna vigunascha bhuman. Nanya tvarastya pi mano vachasa niruktam. Tvam vayuragnira avanira viyad ambumatra. Pranendriyani ridayam chiranugrahascha. Sarvam tvareva saguna vigunascha bhuman. Nanya tvarastya pi mano vachasa niruktam. Vagnir Varanav Ratra Pranendriyani Ridayam Chiranugrahascha Saravam Dvameva Saguna Vigunastra Bhuman. Ladies, Tvam vayuragnir varanir avijanuvastra. Endriyani ridayam teranugrahascha. Sarvam tvadeva saguno vigunascha bhuman. Nanya tvadasya pimano vachasa niruktam. Vayuragnir varanir viyad ambamuvastra. Pranendriyani ridam chid anugrahastra. sarvam tvameva saguna vigunastra bhuman. Nanya tvadasya pivano vachasa niruktam. Tvam, you are vayu, air, agni, fire, avani, earth, viyat, sky, ambu, water, matra, the sense objects, prana, the life airs, indriyani, the senses, hridayam, the mind, chit, consciousness, anugraha, cha, and false ego, all the demigods, sarvam, everything, tvam, you, eva, only, saguna, material nature, with its three modes, viguna, the spiritual spark, and supersoul, which are beyond material nature. Cha and Bhuman, O great Lord, Na, not, Anyat, other, Twat, then you, Asti, is, Api, although, Manaha, Vachasa, by mind and words, Niruktam, everything manifested. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, the earth, fire, sky, and water. You're the objects of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness, and false ego. Indeed, you are everything subtle and gross. Material elements and anything expressed, either by the words or by the mind, are nothing but you. Purport. This is the all-pervasive conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which explains how He spreads everywhere and anywhere. Sarvam kalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman, the Supreme Brahman Krishna. Nothing exists without Him. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina. Matstani sarabhutani na chaham teshvavastitaha. I exist everywhere and everything exists in me, yet I am not visible everywhere. The Lord can be visible only through devotional service. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. The Supreme Lord stays only where His devotees chant His glories. So the verse again. Tvam vayuragnir avanir viyat ambu matra pranendriyani ridayam chiranugrahascha sarvam tvam eva saguno vigunascha bhuman nanya tvadasyapi manovachasa niruktam. O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, the earth, fire, sky, and water. You are the object of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness, and false ego. Indeed, you are everything subtle and gross. The material elements and anything expressed, either by words or by the mind, are nothing but you. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pasika Jyade Siddharne. So just a short announcement. I brought with me some maha sweets from the Bhaktivedanta Manor, made from ahimsa cows, ahimsa milk, which is means that they take care of the cows. Actually, at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, Goshal, Goshal costs, I think, 2 to 3 million pounds is the Hilton of the cows. So if anyone would like a little bit of the maha afterwards, we can distribute it. One of these sweets probably is like 3 gallons of milk. So Krishna is everywhere. He's also in the milk sweets, especially those offered to Radha Gokulananda. Here in this verse it says that Krishna is everything. So that would make things very simple. The only problem is that we think there is no Krishna. I was reading the diary about Prabhupada. What is the difficulty? And there Prabhupada was saying, one of the problems in the Hare Krishna movement is that none of my disciples, Prabhupada was telling Shruti Kirti, that none of my disciples believe that there is a Krishna. We may have some faith, but that faith only comes to degrees. Therefore it says, Archam Eva Hare Pujam Yakshara Yohapate Yata Daneshu Chaneshu Sabhakta Prakrita Smritaha. In the beginning, when we kind of see Krishna as the deity in the temple and respect that there might be at least one devotee, ourselves, then at that particular time, we're known as a Prakrita Bhakta. And Prakrita Bhaktas come in different flavors. They come as Artha, Artha Artis, Jignasus, and Gyanis. Gyani being a liberated soul, or practically liberated soul, who understands that he's not this body. And from that platform, one can actually begin actual devotional service. Without actual devotional service, Krishna says, Naham Prakrsha Sarvasha Yoga Maya Samavrita Mudoyam Nabijananti Lokoyam Ajam Avyam. That I am actually never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. To them I am covered by my eternal creative potency, Yoga Maya. And so the deluded world knows me not, I'm unborn and infallible. For the conditioned soul, Krishna is hidden to different degrees. Because the conditioned soul, he has some desire, his actual desire, we talk about lording it over the material nature. But I think the best example of lording it over the material nature is Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was an intelligent demon because he realized if he was going to lord it over the material nature, first of all, he had to control his body. He had to make sure that he was not going to die. Because if we die, we're not very much in control of the material nature. Therefore, ultimately, when you get down to it, all this endeavor of everyone, materialists especially, is to stop death. And the spiritualist is also trying to stop death. The only difference is that the spiritualist is trying to stop death by getting out of the cycle of birth and death, and the materialist is trying to stop death by trying to conquer the material energy. One is impossible, the other is difficult. Better to take the difficult one rather than the impossible one. That's more or less the moral of the Hare Krishna movement. To try to stop death in the material world is impossible. Mrityu sarvaharastraham. The problem is we see we are attached to so many things in this world that we think are going to stop us from this body from dying. They're known as atma sanyesha satsupi. We have so many things that we surround ourselves with hoping to stop us from death, whether it be our personal health, or it's our family, our children, our pet parakeet, whatever. Somehow or another, some of our weapons will stop us, this body or ourselves from leaving the body. Therefore, Maharaj Yashavde says that Mithirna Krishne Parataksatova, I guess that's Prahlad Maharaj, mito bipadyeta griha ratanam. Adantiko viravishitam tamizram punak punas charavita charvanana. Everyone is afraid that they're not going to be able to solve their problems. And indeed, everyone is working hard to solve some kind of problem. Those in the mode of ignorance, their problem, they think, is my stomach is not full. Let me fill it up, and then my problem will be solved. They don't see their impending destruction. They simply think, let me gratify my senses temporarily, and that will solve my problems. Others, they want to refine their attempt to survive in the material world by becoming more sophisticated in their activities. And others, they try to live in harmony with material nature and hoping by clean air, fresh food, nice relationships, they're going to be able to prolong their existence here in the mode of goodness. But in any case, no one lives in this material world forever, although either personally or by conventions or by a combination of both, one is trying to solve the unlimited, ever-increasing problems of material existence. Materna Krishne, but the last thing anyone wants to do is put their mind upon Krishna. When Lord Varaha was fleeing from Hiranyakashipu, who wanted to avenge the killing of his little baby brother, Hiranyaksha. Lord Varaha, he entered into the nostril of Hiranyakashipu and went right into his heart, because he knew the last place in this universe that Hiranyakashipu would look for God would be in his heart. So he was safe there. Everyone is trying to solve their problems, but the last means of solving problems, when everything else fails, they may turn to God. And they're thinking, if I can have a healthy body, if I can have a healthy family, if I can have a healthy society, if my lawn is nice and green, everything is growing, then I'll be able to stay here forever. Adantago biravishitam tamizram punak punas charvata charvanam. They try again and again and again to survive in the material world by chewing the chew. The tevidu swarthikatim hi vishnu. They don't know that the actual remedy for their problems is to take shelter of Vishnu. Therefore, they take shelter, dharashaye bahya atamanina. They take shelter of the dog, his tail. A dog is in the ocean, he's swimming. One is trying to get across the ocean, he grabs hold of the dog's tail and hopes that the dog will carry him across the ocean. He's probably going to be surprised that the dog will not try to cross the ocean, and if he did, he would drown. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishingha. That parents may look at their child and try to help them, take care of them very nicely, but they may still die. Nartasya chagadam udanvato majitao. No. One may have a very nice doctor and very nice medicine. One may have a strong boat, but still one may not survive. Taptasya tat privadira ihandrishe stas. Tvadvido tanubhutam tvad upekshitanam. That if Krishna wants, well, Krishna may help the person survive temporarily, but ultimately everyone dies. Therefore, without taking shelter of Krishna, everything is a failure. But we don't take shelter of Krishna because we're trying to utilize this energy in so many ways to protect ourselves from inevitable death. And therefore, we're looking around in this material world, trying to see what object I can hold on to that will help me survive. Because if we don't survive, then where is there any question of trying to enjoy? So although we're attempting to enjoy the material world, actually our first business is trying to survive. And therefore, in spite of the fact that we're not going to survive, then we try to forget that we're not going to survive, and then try to enjoy. But that's not real enjoyment. One who's not in divine consciousness or Krishna consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor a steady intelligence, without which there can be no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So we look around in the material world, and we're looking for something to hold on to that will protect me, first of all. And after we feel a little protected, then we may attempt to become peaceful. And from there, we may try to enjoy our senses. But ultimately, we can never enjoy our senses, nor we can be peaceful, because there's no permanent shelter in this material world. The only shelter is Krishna. Therefore, first of all, we have to give up our illusion. We have to respect the material world as Krishna's energy, not our energy. The conditioned soul is trained by the Vedic literature to try to restrain his unlawful desires to trying to seek shelter in the material nature. Therefore, matrivat paradareshu, one is looking for some lady or man that in that relationship one is able to get a sense of immortality. Even the children, it's more or less somehow or another I'm becoming manifest within my children. The materialist actually believes that this is my immortality is inherent with having children. As if when he dies, when the person dies, somehow or another, he lives on through his children. His false ego lives on, maybe, through his children. Jarasandha was willing to give up his own head if he could get some fame, immortal fame, such as King Shibi, Harishchandra, Mugda. They all achieved some kind of immortal fame. He was willing to give Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima his head on a platter if somehow or another he became immortally famous for it. So we're trying to get our false ego to live on forever as if that's going to help us. Therefore, the Vedic literature says, stop looking at all these ladies as if, you know, if you have children with all of them, then you're going to live eternally. Or with men, that they'll protect you, whatever. And not that this paradareshu lostrava, not that this material energy is, I can build a fortress around me, so complicated that when the Yamadutas try and find me, they'll never be able to solve the problem, the puzzle. They'll get lost in the maze. Matrivat paradareshu, paradvareshu, lostrava, atmavat sarabhuteshu, yakpashati sapanditaha. And that these other living entities, they're my competitors in this material world for immortality. That somehow or another, if I can eliminate everyone, then I'm going to survive. This is the current so-called scientific explanation of how to survive the material world. Kill everyone else except for yourself. Eugenics. That there's so much resources, only limited resources, only so much food. We're all competing for it. So when your neighbor's not looking, shoot him for his benefit. Mercy killing. One less mouth to feed and more for my stomach. Oh, to see all the entities as spiritual beings, and we all have the same interests, as not compete endlessly, uselessly trying to compete with one another for the resources of God. Then he's considered a pandit. But that being a pandit is not the ultimate objective of human life is Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Lokamaheshwaram. Suridam Sarabhuteshu Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Lokamaheshwaram. Suridam Sarabhutanam Gyatva Shamam Shanti Mrishesi. To understand that everything here is Krishna's energy, and we're going to be bitten by illusion if we try to take hold of it for our own so-called security and happiness. No, we should utilize it for Krishna, for his happiness, and then we'll actually get happiness and security. Otherwise, we get put into illusion, namely identifying ourselves with this body, and then working hard for the immortality of this temporary body, which is impossible. No matter what we do for this body, it will not be immortal. Instead, we should work for, utilize this body to proclaim our own immortality by showing Krishna's immortality, immortal relationship with every living entity, including ourselves. Then we'll be able to see Krishna everywhere and understand that this, all this energy and everyone within it, they're all sacred because they're all the same quality as Krishna. And when we respect all living entities on the same level as spiritual beings, when we respect Krishna's energy as an opportunity to utilize for his pleasure and his service, then we'll realize Krishna and our whole problem will be solved, because our misidentification with our purpose of life in order to protect this temporary, miserable, ignorant body from death will be realized as a waste of time. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Or as Prabhupada said, this whole material civilization, which is meant to keep people in darkness, will soon come to an end. It's all coming to an end. Our body's coming to an end. This misdirected civilization will come to an end. And yet it'll simply go on. The ignorance will go on eternally until we take shelter of Krishna and respect his energies as servants or opportunities to utilize in Krishna's service. So, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes, I got my room.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. In the last sentence of this purport, Prabhupada explains that the Supreme Lord stays only where his devotees chant his glories. If we're to understand that God is everywhere, then why is it that he's... How can we understand that he only stays where his devotees chant his glories?
Well, Krishna personally stays where the devotees are chanting his glories. Otherwise, he's all pervasive by his energies. He's not personally there, but he actually appears, we could say, where the devotees are chanting his glories. Otherwise, he's hidden. He may be there or available, but he's not, those who are there without Krishna consciousness, without chanting his glories, they're unaware of Krishna's presence, either by his energies or by his personal form or even by the supersoul. But when we chant Krishna's glories with devotion, then Krishna personally appears before us. And then we can understand where we actually are, what's actually going on there. Actually, the soul is not really in the material nature either. He's just thinking he's in the material nature. Well, he's in the material energy, but he's thinking he's part of it. And therefore he thinks that the highest object of worship is the material energy. And therefore that's what he's aware of. But when he changes his consciousness and accepts Krishna as the highest object of worship, then Krishna appears before him. No one can see that there is nothing but Krishna. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Actually, in the purport, Prabhupada quoted 9.4, so in the next verse, 9.5, Krishna explains that. Natsamatstani bhutani pashyame yoga maishram. It's actually an opulence, a yoga opulence, to be invisible. Sometimes we wish we could be invisible, but we can't. But Krishna can do that. He can be right here and yet be invisible. You can't see him because he doesn't want you to see him. So that's one of his opulences. He's everywhere, personally present everywhere, not impersonally. He's personally present everywhere. But by his mystic opulence of yoga, he remains hidden and only reveals himself when he wants to.
Or when his when someone wants Krishna to reveal himself. Because just like we have our deities here, they're right before us. We're thinking one thing, and they're thinking something else. We're thinking that, you know, what nice, you know, Prabhupada once said in Auckland, the temple president there some years ago, wanted to install some deities, and Prabhupada was not very enthusiastic about it. But he kept on insisting, this particular temple president. And then Prabhupada turned to him and said, "You think they're dolls?" Just like some dolls you play with. But actually, we may be thinking one thing, and they're looking at us thinking, when are they going to wake up? Yes? Yes, if they're actually chanting Hare Krishna. But that's doubtful whether everyone who just says Hare Krishna is actually chanting Hare Krishna. Because we can't chant Hare Krishna in such a way as to actually realize Krishna unless it's with the feeling of surrender. Krishna is not going to appear before us no matter how much we chant Hare Krishna unless we want him to appear. And we won't want him to appear unless we're actually surrendered to him. If Krishna appeared before us and we weren't surrendered, we'd be very disappointed. Because here we have so many desires and we don't want to give them up. Only when we give them up will Krishna actually appear. So we can chant Hare Krishna, and if we chant Hare Krishna with the desire to actually take shelter of Krishna and Srimati Radharani's internal energy, then to some degree Krishna will appear before us to the degree of our sincerity. But if one has no desire at all for Krishna to appear, then it's doubtful whether they're actually chanting Hare Krishna. They may be chanting some letters of the alphabet, but that's not Hare Krishna. Everyone's emotional. That's why we're in the material world. Bhavasindure. It's an ocean of emotions. Well, hopefully there's a difference. We're emotionally about loving Krishna, and they're emotional about loving themselves. They get a moment of bliss realizing that they're the supreme, or that somehow or another they've actually got some salvation for a moment. But it has nothing to do with loving Krishna, serving Krishna, being Krishna's association. But hopefully when we chant, we're actually getting Krishna's association because we really want to. We want to be in Krishna's association, serve him out of love. And therefore the emotions that arise from that are different. They're spiritual. And the other is just a different phase of material. Yes. Quick.
You know, you just explain how materialistic people, they're thinking they're live forever, and they want to live forever. Yeah, they behave in this way, but at the same time they're atheists. They don't believe in God, and if you ask them, they said, no, you know, I have to die. So how you can? It look like contradictory.
I don't understand. Everyone wants to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to die. It doesn't matter who they are in this material world. You take a gun, put them to their head and say, should I pull the trigger? Atheists or whoever. No one wants to die. It's very inconvenient to die. So everyone's trying somehow or another to perpetuate their existence, either physically or intellectually or on some plane of existence. They want to be perpetual. Everyone's making that attempt. We're doing it by taking shelter of Krishna. And everyone else is doing it by taking shelter of the material ideas. But without immortality, there's no question of happiness, of peace. So everyone knows that that's the first platform to get to happiness, is finding some peace, real peace. Not 15 minutes of quiet, but actual eternal peace. Then there can be an opportunity to obtain real happiness. So everyone's trying for it. Some people know how to obtain it, and some people have no idea how to obtain it. They think, if I can fill my empty stomach, I get a half an hour of peace. And others think, if I can become famous and well-known, do some artistic work, then my Mona Lisa will live forever, even though I can't. And others, they try to be in harmony with material nature and therefore merge into goodness. But none of those things will save us. Only if we take shelter of Krishna and get out of our material consciousness can we realize our eternity and find real peace. Yes.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. I was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that we should chant the holy names in a humble state of mind. Thinking oneself lower than straw on the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. I was just wondering if you can give us some directions on how to put that into practice in our daily activities, to have that mentality for everything we do.
Come to the morning program. Chant 16 rounds, follow four of the principles, read Prabhupada's books, worship the deities, preach Krishna consciousness, and serve the devotees. So now we have some prasadam. If anyone like, they can come up. Get it while it lasts.